Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Dr. Daniel Hopps, a program designed to teach you Jesus' kingdom culture and the power to be, do, and have all God has destined for you.
Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show. Remember, they that know their God shall be strong and do great and mighty exploits. We've been having a conversation over the past couple of days with Apostle Calvin Brown, who is a marketplace apostle, who is a tremendous kingdom theologian that helps us to understand from God's perspective what he meant by what he said. And we've been talking about things that pertain to kingdom. You know, Calvin, in Acts, the first chapter, and he's with us again this morning. Say hi to everybody, Calvin.
Good morning, everybody.
praise the Lord. Well, I wanted to mention that in Acts, the first chapter, it talks about after Jesus was resurrected, he spent 40 days speaking to his apostles about those things that pertain to kingdom, not religion, you know, but with things that pertain to kingdom, the king's domain. And we've been talking about some kingly matters over the past couple of days, and we ended talking about the incredible truths concerning how the strategies of the seven mind molders in any society can affect the way God facilitates what is done in the earth. And we wanted to talk about this entity of kings. And knowing what these seven mountains are, it was God's mountain, the place of empowerment. It was the family. It was education. It was government. It was marketplace.
Communications.
Entertainment. And then marketplace. Yes. And we were talking about how they all work together. So to help those that are just joining with us, kind of speak on the seven mountains and just move from there and talk about the entity in the Bible called the entity of king, and how that relates to us as individuals in our visions.
As Dr. Hopp had just explained, there are seven primary spheres or mountains that control any society. It doesn't matter whether the society is what we call an industrial nation like America, France, or Japan, or a third world nation like Haiti. These seven spheres exist in every society,
mm-hmm.
And so the goal is to control these spheres. If you control these spheres, then you'll control the society.
Mm-hmm.
So the order of the spheres is important because you'll either receive your empowerment from the first mountain, which is the mountain of God, or the last mountain, which is the marketplace mountain.
Mm-hmm.
So if you receive your empowerment from that mountain of God, your identity will be similar to his. How you function, how you speak, how you treat people will be the way that he does it. In the marketplace mountain, for instance, let's take a look at China. Everybody is aware that China is challenging the United States to be the number one financial power on the planet.
Yeah.
Okay, but then look at how the Chinese government treats its people. See,
wow.
That's what empowerment, that's what being at the top of the mountain allows you to do. I'm not saying America does everything right, but I think there are more people trying to get in America than there are trying to get into China. And there's a reason.
There's a reason for it.
For that. And so if we look at the spheres, the guy at the top controls the message that is broadcasted from the top of that mountain. So if your moral and your value set comes from being empowered by God, then when you reach the top of that mountain, you'll speak a certain way. The Bible says in Hosea, he says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That word destroyed actually means to cause to be made silent.
Wow.
So as a king, you're supposed to have words that you speak in the earth. Paul writes, he says, when he's talking about in Galatians, he's talking about that a child differs nothing, or servant, I'm sorry, differs nothing from a child who is the heir until he reaches the point where he can speak. The Greek word for that word child is the word nepios, ne meaning no or not, pios meaning to speak. So as long as you are nepios, one who doesn't speak, the Bible considers you to be a child. Now, Paul, when he gave that address to the Galatians, he's talking to adults.
Mm-hmm.
But he called them a nepios. You know, John says the same thing. He says, my little children. And he's talking to these adults.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole focus is on their ability not to release the word of God.
And that's what the Great Commission is about. You know, when Jesus told us to go and carry the mission, you know, we forget that it was a teaching commission. It was a speaking commission, and it was designed to subdue culture, because whoever controls the culture controls the atmosphere and the people. And we need to have a power of influence and control so that we can open up the gates for people to come into their salvation and come into their identity as kings. I was reading in the prophetic dictionary, it said the power that set the kings in office is presumed to be the source of all his wealth, health, wisdom, and military strategy. Help us to understand how God's strategy in making us kings, us being kings, fulfilling the mandate, the calling, the relationship as being kings from heaven affects the culture that we're living in today.
Well, again, I think that, you know, if we look at, you know, the purpose of God for creating man was so that he would function in the earth in his image,
mm-hmm.
and his likeness. Now, Paul in Romans chapter 12 writes, he says that we need to be transformed. And the word is metamorpho. And so the transformation needs to be so dramatic. It is like the caterpillar that turns into the butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, so this transformation is supposed to turn you from an image that is not like God into an image that is so consistent with God that creation will mistake you for God. Creation can look at you and say, oh, I thought that was God, you know? And so then when we speak to creation, creation responds to us exactly the way that it responded to God.
Wow.
You can walk up to a dead person and say, come back to life. You can speak to 12 loaves and fishes. You can bless it, break it, and it'll just multiply to meet the need that exist. That was, they weren't supposed to be one-time miracles that get turned into Bible
mm-hmm.
stories.
Mm-hmm.
But how often do we hear of the miraculous at that level taking place?
But these are the new man capabilities that we're supposed to walk in, you know, after we've been born again. You know, we're born again, and these activate these power giftings in our life. Help us to understand by definition, what is a king, and what are some of the kings in the Bible that we need to be aware of, and how what they did affected on what we're called to do today?
A king is one who rules a sphere or a domain.
Mm-hmm.
The word kingdom is a grammatical construct of the two words king, dominion, or domain. And so king is just simply an entity that rules over a particular domain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and just, you know, I've heard Dr. Monroe use this analogy. He talks about Tiger is the king in the world of golf.
Mm-hmm.
He dominates over nobody, but he dominates over that game.
Mm-hmm.
Just his name being entered into the competition makes other people nervous. Everybody breathed a sigh of relief when he went out on a medical leave, you know, for his surgery, you know. But they'll be nervous this year coming back, you know, when the tour starts again, because
right.
he will come back better and stronger. Why? Because he has, as a king, exercises dominion over the sphere of golf.
Now, is that God's desire for all of us that are listening about listening to this message of the kingdom? Is that God's desire for us individually, that we would be able to rule as kings, that we would have the same level of authority and awe and shock that Tiger walks in his field?
That is his express desire. You know, that we are supposed to function in his image and in his likeness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tell the story and I use it in his terms. When Eli gave instructions to send the ark into battle,
mm-hmm.
okay, the ark gets captured. The ark represents the presence of God. The ark gets captured, and so God goes to jail.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I explain
God
it.
Goes to jail.
God goes to jail.
So if you're listening from prison, you're not the only one who's been to jail. God's been there too. Go ahead.
I'm telling you. But see, now watch God in jail, being in the world and not of the world. They have the ark of the covenant of God, and they put him at Dagon's feet.
Mm-hmm.
So in the morning, the image of the god called Dagon is on his face in front of the ark.
Wow.
Now God's in jail. God didn't break himself out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
He stayed where he was,
mm-hmm.
but he still exercised dominion. where he was. So then they come in, find Dagon on his face. They prop him back up because, after all, Dagon couldn't get up himself.
Mm-hmm.
They prop him back up. Then the next morning they come in, Dagon's in pieces. And so as the story goes, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Dagon back together again.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? And so eventually they had to let God go.
And it's because God's presence was there. We're going to take a destiny break, Calvin, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the power of kings bringing God's presence into the marketplace and how it affects the deities that are the fallen deities that are ruling these arenas. When we bring God's presence, how they'll have the same effect that we're willing to bring on the presence of God through our kingly assignments. We'll be right back, everybody.
The Youthpreneur Institute is a mission to mobilize a new generation of entrepreneurs and visionaries. Our institute offers an entrepreneur and leadership literacy program for youth 6th through 12th grade. Call today at 303-841-9829. To register your youth, or visit us online at yicenter.com. Again, that's 303-841-9829 or online at yicenter.com. The Youthpreneur Institute. We teach youth how not to die in poverty, but to have poverty die in them.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Those that are just tuning in, you've been listening to the Voice of Destiny show. I'm Dr. Harp, your host. We've been talking with Apostle Calvin Brown about things that pertain to kingdom. And we have been talking about this relationship and the impact of us standing up in our mantles as kings. We are kings not because of anything that we've done. There's nothing in our DNA that's made us kings, but it is the exact result of our relationship with God. And we were talking earlier, Calvin, on the break, about the significance of kings. You know, the earth is crying out for the manifestation of the sons of God. How is it significant for us hearing this gospel of the kingdom, understanding who we are, and what type of difference, what kind of new order do we bring when we take this reality to our workplace and take God's presence there?
Well, I think that the new order is actually an old order. Just, you know, king off of the term order, there's a guy in Scripture. I think he is one of the most significant guys in Scripture, and his name is Melchizedek,
mm-hmm.
Melchizedek, depending on how you choose to pronounce it. I think he is one of the most significant figures in Scripture. If you study Scripture from a chronological perspective, you will find that Melchizedek, Abraham, and Job were on the earth all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So here are three significant figures in Scripture, but the most significant of those three is this guy who is king,
mm-hmm. wow,
and
wow.
a priest.
Wow.
And so the anointing that you're supposed to bring into that environment wherever you work is this anointing that is has the manifestation of kingship and priesthood all in one spirit. And so it allows you to go back and forth between these two dynamics so that whomever you encounter, you can meet their need as a king or you can meet their need as a priest, thereby gaining, and this term is critical, influence
mm-hmm.
in the environment.
Yeah, this is why I believe that we shouldn't limit ourselves to just seek success. We need to seek preeminence. And preeminence is calling us into a greater assignment than we've ever imagined before. And it's important that we begin to grab hold of the destiny, grab hold of the destiny that God has given us to fulfill. Praise God.
Now,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Let me say it this way, in terms of what we seek, because, again, the order is important. Now, the Bible describes Solomon as the wisest man that ever lived. Okay, and Solomon had this to say about seeking. He said, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter.
Mm.
Now, the word matter, it's King James translation, the word matter is the Hebrew word dabar, which
mm-hmm.
means can be translated word, or it can be translated matter, it can be translated business.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, Solomon says, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings search out this thing that is a matter, a word, or the business of God. That's where a king finds his glory. Now, Jesus Christ took this whole dynamic of king searching to another level. Jesus Christ said, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And he says, all the things that the Gentiles seek, they'll just simply get added because of the order in which you seek for things.
This is critical. You know, it's critical that we understand this because it goes back to what gospel are we hearing? What gospel are we being taught? Because if we don't hear this gospel of the kingdom about this order of God that needs to be established in the earth, we'll walk this planet, Calvin, not having really accomplished what we were sent here to do. And how will we be able to stand? You know, this is, you know, Psalms, the first chapter, about, you know, the people who will be able to stand in the judgment. Will we be able, what we are walking in, what we're hearing in terms of just the gospel of the salvation, just the gospel of salvation, does not really prepare us to be able to stand before the judgment of the Lord. And, you know, kings, you know, have to give an account to the deity that raised them up in the earth, you know. And this is what we understand from the ancient beliefs, is that when people saw a king or a queen, it was like an arrangement between the deity of the land and a man. And that's why we understand that even the Queen of England, she's the head of the Church of England, because of the whole concept of what the arrangement was. And so now we, as everyday believers, have to understand that God wants to empower us with wealth, health, wisdom, and military strategies to possess the territory he gives us, but it's on the basis of an arrangement. Let's talk about the arrangement.
Well, that's why the order of the spheres of the mountains are so critical, because, see, you'll either be empowered by God or you'll be empowered by the marketplace. That's why that is so important. And so where you derive your empowerment, you will function in that spirit. And that's why that is just simply so critical, the order. God has an order of things, and how he wants them executed is what brings the glory to God in the earth.
Now people go to work every day, and I see people often having wrong priority, a wrong order of where does work fit? Where does work fit? When they approach work, how do they approach work in a kingly manner and versus being a slave to the marketplace? Because I see people that are enslaved. And they're never, as much as hard as they work hard, do all the overtime, and they never get to the place in life where God wants them to be at. Talk to us about that.
Well, I think that the dynamic there is this, is that God says that we need to work. So work figures into the plan and the instruction of God. But I think it's the reason why you work that causes you to give up the power that you have and submit that to either the marketplace or to God. So Christ makes a statement like this. He says, you can only serve one of the two of us. He says, you can either serve me or you can serve Mammon. Now, Mammon was actually a Canaanitish deity. Now, we use Mammon to represent money or material things. Okay? The word serve in the Hebraic expression encompasses both work and worship. So in our culture, in Western theology, we've separated them into worship being one dynamic and work being another dynamic, but there are Hebrew words that encompass both work and worship all in the same dynamic. And so when I go back to, I'll go back to the other verse that I just mentioned, Christ is talking about the Gentiles. And he says, the Gentiles eagerly seek for all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. So if your intent is to go to work to get the stuff, then you become servant to the spirit that controls that.
That's right.
Okay?
That's
but he says, if you seek first the kingdom, he says, I'll give you stuff.
Wow.
And see, you know, we're so focused on the accumulation of things. And God says, the easiest way to get it is just come looking for me.
Wow. Well, we're gonna take that thought, and we're going to take a destiny break, and we're going to come back looking for God in our callings and our assignment. If you've just tuned in, you've been listening to the Voice of Destiny show. I'm Dr. Harp, your host, and our ministry website is at voiceofdestiny.org. We have incredible resources to help you to do that, just to look to God and to be able to fulfill your calling in your field of destiny. And you can do that by just visiting voiceofdestiny.org, and we'll be right back with you in a few moments. Thank you.
I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and dulled by having the state look after me. I desire to take the calculated risk, to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed.
YI Institute is an entrepreneur and leadership program for youth that teaches personal leadership, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship. Register your youth today at yicenter.com. That's yicenter.com. And your youth will learn how not to die in poverty, but to have poverty die in them.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Voice of Destiny show. We've been talking about things that pertain to kingdom. And I mentioned earlier how Jesus, you know, that always captivated my heart when I read in Acts how Jesus spent those 40 days speaking on things that pertain to kingdom. And what that did, how did that wire and activate the apostles to go and change the world they was living in? And how do you see God taking the church, as you were mentioning before we the last segment, about looking to God and God would give us all the stuff? How does that change the way we do things in this culture on its head when we begin to really put God first like never before?
I think that, like many times, like for instance, I'll start here. Many times, when God comes, what He brings first is a picture of Himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the first time the word vision is actually used, it is used in the context of God visiting Abraham, and God identifies Abraham in that vision in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that. One of the first things that has to happen is that we need to understand that humans have created their own vision of what church
mm-hmm.
is supposed to be. And so I think that God has to do something to reestablish His vision
yeah.
of this thing called church or ecclesia.
Mm-hmm.
Because when He used the word that was common to His culture,
mm-hmm.
it was a governmental body that was handpicked by Caesar. They were like what would be equivalent to today, our Senate,
mm-hmm.
Except that back then they were handpicked by Caesar. Now, that's what Christ had in mind.
That's what He was building, and that's a very incredible point for us to understand, because we do a lot of things with what we call church that is not what Jesus had in mind for church.
And so I think in order to cause a revolution, I think there has to, let me say it this way, because there are all kinds of revolutions that can be caused, but in order to cause the one that would bring the clarity and the accuracy to what God said, He has to reintroduce that vision
mm-hmm.
to not just the people that stand behind microphones and in pulpits, but He has to do that in the hearts of the people
mm-hmm.
as well.
Now,
I couldn't even begin to say how He would do that, but I think the change begins there,
mm-hmm.
because the picture that is presented on, you know, in many local assemblies is not the same picture that Christ presented back then. So I think we have to start there, and then at that point, you know, the relationship or the dynamic of just walking with Him becomes critical, because He has a way that He wants to do it that will bring glory to Himself. You know, point in case, if we look right now, across the planet, there's financial distress, not just in America,
yeah,
but across
everywhere.
The planet.
Global.
And so anytime there is distress of that magnitude, it causes people to look to whomever they think is God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different for different people.
Yeah.
But they tend to look in the direction of the entity that is called God. And again, it's different for different people. So God uses circumstances like this to create a situation that causes the focus to be on Him. Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, you know, I had this dream. today was confirmed by Daniel, who's a man of God, that I'm the head of gold. So I'm going to build this head of gold, and I'm going to call an assembly. I want representatives from my entire kingdom to come, and then God upstaged him on that day because he tried to put the guys in the fire, and they wouldn't burn. Yep. And so instead of coming to hear about Nebuchadnezzar, who did they hear about?
The living God. Everybody was talking about him.
Everybody. So God has a way of getting his message out that is what we would say unconventional. And we call it that because we don't think like God. None of us would have ever thought to do that to Nebuchadnezzar, but God did. And so God has a way that he will upstage everybody and get his name on the whole world's lips, whether you're saved or unsaved.
Wow. One of the things that we would always tell people after we led them to the Lord, it's important that you get in a Bible preaching church. But today I need to add something to that. You need to get in a church that's preaching the Bible and teaching a kingdom-centered message and how that changes the way you perceive the world that you live in. And how you receive the world that you live in will determine what you'll be doing have. You know, you're tied to your belief system. You may not do everything you profess, but you do everything you believe. And so God is dealing with us, with our belief system so that we can be able to fulfill this great commission, because the world and God's plan is at risk right now, and if we don't be obedient to that. Well, God's plan is not at risk. God's plan is going to actually happen with us or without us. But it's important that we do what God wants us to do in these last days.
Yeah, and, you know, just to piggyback off of the comment that you just made is that you will do more, no more than you believe who God is to you. You will do no more than if you know, the God that you believe in can only do so much. That's as far as you'll go. If you can believe he'll do anything, that's as far as you'll go. You know, and so we, you know, the place where we are is we have to come to this place where we really understand and are able to clearly and accurately answer the question, who is God to you?
Well, that means that our believers, our believer mechanism needs a kingdom fix. And Calvin, it's, like I said, it's been a blessing to have you. You know, I respect the mantle on your life as a man that's gifted with God's gift of wisdom, but also the kingdom theological perspective that you bring to us, because we when we study the Bible, we have to remember we're reading a translation.
Correct.
And if we don't understand what God meant by what he says, we can put a spin on what this word of God says to us and cause ourselves, using the word of God that we know, to get us in a misdirection because we don't understand what God really meant by what he said. And you have really laid a good foundation for us as an apostle. And that's what apostles do. They help strengthen the platform. And this platform gives us an elevation to look and to see where God wants us to go, where God wants us to do. And if you've been listening to the show and you realize that you are at a place right now where you need to upgrade your belief system, you need to be in a covenant atmosphere where you can be affected to live like a godly king that God's raised up. And I want to invite you to participate in the tools that we have here at Voice of Destiny. Please visit our website at voiceofdestiny.org. But most importantly, I want your prayers. You know, call, email us at info@voiceofdestiny.org. Let us know how this show has affected you. Let us know any more questions that you have. And if you would like for us to have Calvin Brown to come back and answer some particular questions you may have about kingdom, because we are called to carry out a kingdom mandate. And in order for us to do that, we've got to come into understanding. On February the 7th, 2009, we have a seminar called The Vertical Shift that's designed to help you to shift your thinking from an earthly perspective to a heavenly kingdom perspective. And that will be available for you. You just need to go to the website at voiceofdestiny.org, click Vertical Shift, and you'll be able to find out how you can be a part of that. It's been a great time, and I say to you, remember this, that they that know their God shall be strong and do great and mighty exploits. God
You've been listening to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Dr. Daniel Hart, a program designed to teach you Jesus' kingdom culture. For prayer and more information about the resources of Voice of Destiny to help you be, do, and have what God has designed for you, call 303-841-9829 or visit voiceofdestiny.org. That's 303-841-9829 or visit us online at voiceofdestiny.org.
The Youth Premier Institute is a mission to mobilize a new generation of entrepreneurs and visionaries. Our institute offers an entrepreneur and leadership literacy program for youth 6th grade through the 12th.
Call today at 303-841-9829 to register your youth, or visit us online at yiscenter.com. Again, that's 303-841-9829 or online at yiscenter.com. The Youthpreneur Institute. We teach youth how not to die in poverty, but to have poverty die in them.